Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
New Scientist, 7th of December, Healthy Gut, Happy Brain. An interesting cover story. I think it's interesting because, you know, it's sort of like doing Windex on the surface of your computer. You know, your old 1960s computer would change the result. Well, apparently that's the sort of thing that happens in us. If we have a slightly different fecal composition, we think differently. Pretty amazing. So I find it interesting. So the psychobiotic revolution, discovery that gut bacteria influence our emotions should make us all happy, Scott Anderson reports. Remember the last time you had a stomach bug and you just wanted to crawl into bed and pull up the covers? That is called sickness behaviour, and it's a kind of short-term depression. Bacteria infecting you aren't just making you feel nauseous, they're controlling your mood too. It sounds absurd, I would agree. They are in your gut and your feelings are generated in your brain. In fact, this is just an inkling of the power that the microbes could have over our emotions. In recent years, such organisms in the gut have been implicated in a range of conditions that affect mood, especially depression and anxiety. The good news is that bacteria just don't make you feel low. The right ones can also improve your mood. That has an intriguing implication. One day, we may be able to manipulate the microbes living within our guts to change our moods and feelings. Or other people's moods and feelings, I could imagine. Yeah, like if you were the CIA, you'd put a stupid... It's in Donald Trump's gut. It's full of hamburgers, isn't it? It is early days, but the promise is astounding. The World Health Organization rates depression and anxiety as the number one cause of disability affecting at least 300 million people worldwide. The new finding has challenged the whole paradigm of mental illness being caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain and offer an alternative to drug treatment. You've probably heard of probiotics, but these... are their new incarnation psychobiotics. They could be about to change your mood of the planet. Bacteria have been associated with sickness almost since they were discovered 350 years ago by a Dutch biologist and microscope pioneer, Anton van Leeuwenhoek. I suppose you'd call him a biologist, but not in our common sense. Only recently have we begun to understand that microbes also contribute to our health. They produce vitamins and help us seek out extra energy from otherwise indigestible food, for example. Most importantly, by outcompeting and directly battling pathogens, our homegrown microbes protect us from disease. It wasn't until the 21st century that we got the first hint that microbes might also influence how we feel. It started with a very clean mice. In 2004, Nobuko Sodo of Kyushu University, Japan, found that mice lacking microbes had abnormal responses to stress. These so-called germ-free mice are born, well, I think they are germ-free mice, are born through an antiseptic cesarean section and raised in a sterile environment. Imagine that, that would be a very small thing. Such animals don't exist in nature because microbes are inescapable. They coat the skin and are especially fond of mucus lining of the guts. They accumulate in the colon with the right conditions to support a dense population of bacteria, fungi and viruses. Without a protective set of microbes, germ-free mice are particularly vulnerable to pathogens. A normal mice isn't finicky about food and will consume millions of pathogens without a hiccup. But a germ-free mouse can die from eating a mere dozen or so harmful bacteria. Sudo and his team expected physical decrease in their mouse, but they weren't prepared for the behavioural differences they observed. Compared with their more germy cousins, germ-free mice devoted more time to inanimate objects than other mice, i.e. they were probably autistic, and had exaggerated responses to stress. They also had less developed brains. It's hard to know what's going on in the mind of a mouse, but they acted as if they were depressed. Tellingly, when Sudo fed them a pathogen-free microbial concoction, they developed normal stress response within days. So, here's the good bacteria. He's removed the about it, Tim. This surprising connection between microbes and mood has been dubbed, quote, coming to the page, gut-brain axis. Well, there you go. That's a genius who said that one. Pseudo's discovery fascinated researchers across a wide range of fields and launched a spate of studies. Some of these uncovered differences in brain chemistry of germ-free mice compared to normal ones, including dramatic reduction in serotonin, a neurotransmitter linked to depression, or insufficiency, I'd say. Others show that mice bred to model depression in humans appeared to benefit from being fed certain types of bacteria. A study by John Syre and Ted Dinnan of the University College of Cork in Ireland found that the bacterium Lactobacillus rhamnosus, which comes from live yogurt, has a potent anti-anxiety effect in mice. They become a lot more chilled out and relaxed, and they behaved as if they were on Valium or Prozac, says Syren. We looked at their brains and found widespread changes. Of course you would. It isn't possible to do germ-free research in humans. However, Siren and Dinner also found that giving normal mice a fecal transplant from a person with depression... Oh, God.
You're really depressed. I'm a couple of Irish people from Cork. I'm going to take a swab on your bum. What are you going to do? Shove it up the bum of a mouse? You'd be so depressed doing this.
Fecal transplant from a person with depression led them the mice developing depression-like symptoms.
I'm sure you'd be depressed for your mouse.
This convinced them that the findings of the mice have relevance to people. The pair also realised that if gut bacteria influence our emotions, this would have a huge implications for how we understand and treat a variety of mental issues. In 2013, together with colleague Catherine Stanton, they proposed the idea of psychobiotics, a new class of probiotics that would improve people's mood. Not least, the new line of research suggested ways which we could use our diet positively influence our mood, see each way to happiness. Left. It was an audacious idea, not least because, at that point, nobody was sure how the gut-brain axis might work. Quote, "The question is, how can bacteria in your gut communicate with your brain?" says Siren. A clue seemed to lie in the astonishing discovery in the early 2000s that microbes can produce almost every neurotransmitter found in the human brains, including serotonin and dopamine, which is involved in motivation and reward. It's just how many microbes, how much neurotransmitter, I have to question. But there was a problem. The brain was designed to insulate itself from most outside influences through the blood-brain barrier. That prevents cells, particles, and certain molecules, including neurotransmitters, from getting in. How could these chemicals produced by microbes in the gut affect the brain? Quote, question mark. Hotline to the brain. A breakthrough came in 2017. Thankfully, this is a 2019 paper. With the discovery of special cells in the gut lining. These intrachromaffin cells can detect neurotransmitters produced by microbes, resulting in a pulse being triggered to the vagus nerve, which connects the gut to the brain. What's more, experiments in mice show that cutting the nerve transmitter terminates many psychobiotic actions. For example, Dirinserum found that L. ramus didn't alleviate stress in mice when the vagus nerve is cut or severed. Again, it's really hard to know. More evidence suggests that the gut microbes and micromolecules are produced can directly
mediate the integrity of the brain barrier too. I was wondering if you could put an electrode around a nerve and make it and switch it on and off electrically.
So you have a nerve and you can turn it off. That would be more good. The apparent communication between microbes and the brain may even affect the organ's development. The brain is full of structures, specialized functions. Those involved in stress and mood include amygdala, prefrontal cortex, hippocampus, and hypothalamus. They are connected by a spaghetti-like axons running helter-skelter throughout the brain in a complex wiring pattern that is unique for each of us. Well, I hope so, if it's not unique. That wiring starts getting laid down in the uterus and continues in earnest during the first 3 years of a baby's life. Amazingly, gut microbes influence this process. Germ-free mice show abnormal development in their amygdala, hypothalamus, and prefrontal cortex. What? That would be so incredibly small. These things are small anyway, but in a mouse, how would they say that? How gut microbes do this and influence the brain thereafter is less clear, but we do know that these structures aren't static. For example, depression can cause your amygdala, which is impossible for crucial flight or flight response in life-threatening situations, to become more active and swell up. The condition may also cause the hippocampus to shrink, potentially affecting your memory. These physical changes explain why you can't simply think yourself happy. What? Surely, if you start thinking, it might get the physical changes. Okay.
The exact extent to which microbes are evolved is unknown, but the link has been found between the gut and bacteria and the way healthy people process emotions. In 2017, Kirsten Tlisch and Aaron Mayer, both of University of California, Los Angeles, examined gut microbes in 40 women and found the volunteers could be divided into two groups. Those with lots of bacteria from the genus Pretovilla and those with lots from the genus Bactericides. The researchers then used functional MRI scans to look for activities in specific parts of the women's brain while they viewed emotionally disturbing images. Each group had distinct brain activity, which was different enough to indicate... Well, this sounds crap to me, honestly. It sounds like a taster study to see whether you do a proper study. That sounds just so unusually crap, I can't believe it. Okay, individual belong with an accuracy of 87%, whatever that means. In particular, the group with plenty of pro-vertebrate bacteria, which was much smaller and less active in the hippocampus. This also found in people with depression. Tish and Mayer have also found that they can influence the way people's brains process emotions using probiotics. They gave 36 healthy women probiotic yogurt containing four types of bacteria twice daily for 4 weeks. Brain scans revealed that this affected the activity and physical connectivity in the emotional centres of the women's brains, producing changes associated with healthy emotional processing. I wonder what women, why they're doing women, sorry. Okay. Ingesting microbes may even help people at risk of depression and anxiety. Several studies focus on pregnant women because their severe depression affects around 15% of women during and after pregnancy and can interfere with their ability to bond with their babies. In 2017 study, more than 200 women were given L-rambustus from early pregnancy to 6 months after delivery. They found they had better scores than in control groups of depression on testing for depression and anxiety. The finding is particularly welcome because many women are reluctant to take antidepressants during pregnancy or while breastfeeding. Likewise, healthy college students who took off-the-shelf probiotics for a month showed improvements in several measures of anxieties, including panic, worry, negative moods. Students with the highest stress levels who took the most probiotics showed the biggest improvement. Oh, dear. Quote, I do believe the data supports a role of microbes modulating how we feel. You really want to do a blind, double-blind test that, says Tish. However, she cautions that the studies in people show correlations, not causation, so it's not possible. It is possible that mood affecting the microbes rather than the other way around. Yeah, I would say so. This is all very exciting, but there is still another hurdle before psychobiotics can become mainstream treatments. Currently, we have only the vaguest notions of how bacteria might have a good influence on moods. In fact, we don't even know exactly which microbes are in the guts because many can't be cultured.
Thousands of gut microbes have been identified by analysing samples of a small sequence of genetic material called 16S RNA. But this can only reliably distinguish bacteria down to genus level. However, a new technique is revolutionary microbial research called whole genome shotgun sequencing. It can find pieces of even subspecies by looking at every gene in a sample taken from any environment. So you just sequence everything and see what you get together. You may have different people you put together. Using the technique, Johan Reyes and colleagues KU Leuven in Belgium were able to get a fine-grained view of the microbes in the guts of over 1,000 people. In April, they reported that people diagnosed with depression had reduced numbers of bacteria in two genera, Coprolalus and Dalista. These, then, are potentially human psychobiotics.
Oh, it's just such crap science.
The subjects also completed questionnaires about the quality of their life. This revealed that people with better quality of life tended to have more microbes than produce butyrate, a short-chain fatty acid that nourishes and heals the gut. Their gut microbes also produce more precursors of neurotransmitters, the dopamine. One of the team, Marilla Vallis-Colmer, subsequently identified the bacteria called Butyrichos polysaccharum 25-31T as another potential psychobiotic. Well, I'm glad she's identified it. This large-scale human study was possible because Belgium keeps extensive electronic records that are available for scientific analysis. Several northern European countries have similar data sets and, with whole genome shotgun analysis, are likely to reveal the identity of more possible psychobiotics. However, we may be able to do more than just simply find the good bacteria. DNA and CERN suspect that just as pathogenic share certain genes, there may also be genes connecting with mental health benefits. If so, the ideal psychobiotic might be a genetically modified organism containing genes from several different bacteria, they say. That is for the future. There are things we can do now to boost our psychobiotics we already possess. This is such a hot topic. It can surely be only a matter of time before psychobiotics offer an alternative treatment for people diagnosed with a variety of mood disorders. Oh my god. Instead of targeting the head, we could go for the guts. The new way of looking at the brain health is literally turning things upside down, says Sarah. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.